Well, a warm welcome along to the second of our Euro 2024 preview shows, brought to you in conjunction with freesupertips.com, your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst, and I'm joined once again by Mark Langdon for what has been so far, Mark, a feast of European football. Plenty of goals that we've seen so far in the Euros. And has it been more entertaining maybe than what you thought?
Yeah, well, I certainly think it started that way. Warren, sort of Germany set the early tempo, didn't they? And then Spain sort of followed up, and it felt like we were going to be in for a tournament full of goals. It just started to slow down slightly. England were the first of those to drag the level down, I suppose, or certainly the goal threat down. And then France, of course, the sort of joint favourites in many places alongside England, only won by 1-0. So the goals have gone down in more recent days, but I think there's been the right amount of balance between shocks. So, you know, Denmark not beating Slovenia, Slovakia beating Belgium, sort of being the two standout ones, and also enough of the kind of top teams playing well. I'm thinking primarily Germany and Spain, and, you know, obviously England and France have both got the job done as well. So, yeah, I think we've had the right mix so far. Looking forward to the second round of group stage matches. From a betting point of view, started off okay. Yesterday wasn't amazing, so hopefully can get back on the winning trail.
We'll talk more in depth about England in a moment, but of the shocks that we've seen so far, Mark, and the action that we've seen so far, is there anybody who has been a bit more of a surprise package than you thought maybe?
Yeah, I'm going to say Spain. Now, I know they were, fifth favourites when the anti-post betting came in, and they're still in that position as well. They weren't really on my radar as a team that I was looking at to win the Euros, but I did like what I saw from Spain. You know, reasonably good at the back. I think they did give up maybe one or two opportunities that they need to sharpen up on, but, you know, they've got good defenders anyway, individually. The midfield is quality, isn't it? Particularly with Pedri, and Fabian Ruiz had a great game, and, you know, Rodri's just going to do that job that Rodri always does. Morata got his goal. I know you wrote about him. Good column, Warren, in the Racing Post on Monday, wasn't it? In Monday's paper, sort of, you know, bigging up Morata, a player that certainly divides opinion. But the ones that I liked were really about the wingers, Nico Williams and also Yamal on the other side. You know, if you can defend well and then have that pace on the counter-attack, it gives you a good chance of going a long way in an international tournament. So, you know, it's only one game, and Croatia, like, missed a penalty and had another couple of opportunities as well. And maybe the 3-0 was a harsh final outcome, but yeah, Spain served notice that they're better than probably what I thought they would be going into the tournament.
Yeah, a win for Spain, and a number of the other big countries in terms of the challengers have also gone up and running already with a victory, including England, of course, who saw off Serbia by a goal to nil. It wasn't necessarily, I would say, a standout performance from England, other than maybe the first half an hour when they were pretty impressive. What did you make overall of that display, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure most people did watch the game, but I spoke to somebody in the office yesterday who couldn't watch the full match, and they asked me for my opinion on it. I said, well, if you've seen a sort of England performance under Gareth Southgate, then you will have seen that Serbian film many times, because not that dissimilar, was it? You go back to like the Euro final against Italy, where started well, got the goal, was playing fantastically. I really enjoyed that first 30 minutes. It was, yeah. I thought, a good performance from England, particularly Bellingham, but Saka was lively, dominating the midfield all over Serbia. And you can't play like that for 90 minutes. But the last hour, it got worse in that sort of 15 minutes before the break. And the second half, Kane hit the bar sort of late on, but giving the ball away, sitting deep, inviting pressure. I mean, these are all things that we have seen before from England at major tournaments. I don't know why it is like that. I've seen some suggestions that maybe it's almost like Southgate wants to play like that because he's worried about sort of energy and sort of making sure that you're saving it for the more important games. I don't know. I don't necessarily buy into that. I think in the era of five substitutions and you've got the squad that England have, if you're worried at all about fatigue, then you know what to do there. You know, just make the subs. You could have brought on Palmer, Eze, Maynou and Gallagher earlier on. You know, there's a lot of options there. If you wanted to change it up front, Ollie Watkins, I'm sure, absolutely desperate to get on the pitch. So I think that Southgate needs to make more use of his substitutes and just try to be more full tilt. But they did win the game. And yeah, that's the most important thing from the England point of view.
I mean, we've been talking, could talk all day about potential changes and where England went wrong in the second half in particular. But of course, the main focus in the media this week has been Phil Foden and his performance. On the plus side, like you say, Jude Bellingham was excellent. I thought Jarrod Bowen made a decent impact when he came on as a substitute as well. Do we think that there are going to be many changes for the game with Denmark?
I'd be surprised if Southgate ripped it up after one match. Obviously, Foden's position is under scrutiny. He didn't have a great game. I thought he started well, like many of the players, and then it got worse and England's threat came down the other side. I think Foden will be much better when Luke Shaw is fit and is able to go around the outside, because obviously Trippier wants to come inside, Foden wants to come inside, and you're just moving, you know, the whole team sort of is going towards that right-hand side. So that might be an option in terms of Anthony Gordon, particularly, who can hold the width on that on the left wing. But I would certainly like to give Foden one more game at least. In terms of Trent Alexander-Arnold in central midfield, I think that's probably the other sort of talking point, isn't it, really? His performance summed England up. I thought he started well and it got worse for him as the game went on. Gallagher came on and did add energy to the team. It's just whether he technically is good enough and sort of to play in that slightly deeper role. He's very good at winning the ball back. I'm not sure about him on the other side of the ball. So is Maynou kind of the better mix of, has got the Alexander-Arnold, not saying quite to the same extent, but he's probably better on the ball than Gallagher. He understands the position better than Alexander-Arnold. I wouldn't be slamming Southgate if he made an alteration to central midfield, but I think I would like to give those that started another opportunity, because I don't think you can say that the Alexander-Arnold kind of experiment failed. And you know, if you sort of believe he's the best person, then you've got to give him a run of games, I think, to try to understand the position better.
No, I agree. Denmark up next for England, of course, in a repeat of the semi-final from the last Euros. Denmark are as big as 5-1 to claim a victory here against England, who are 13-20 and the draw around 13-5. Of what you saw of Denmark, Mark, you mentioned before the tournament, you didn't think they were as good as the previous tournament, and that opening game would suggest that.
Yeah, I was jumping around when Slovenia got the equaliser. That was the highlight of sort of match day one or game week one. I don't quite know what the official term is for it. Yeah, I was very much anti Denmark, and they played out. They played better than I thought that they would in the first half, and I was a little bit concerned about the lay of Denmark. But second half, that was the standard I thought that they were and would play to. And yeah, I'm not that worried about them. I think probably Serbia were the biggest threat to England. So, Eriksen ran the show in the first 25, 30 minutes. But we've seen in the Premier League this season that if you put pressure on him and play at a decent tempo, he's not the player that he once was. And if there's no kind of Eriksen inspiration or England can snuff out that threat, you do wonder where kind of that inspiration comes from. So I'm not overly bothered by Denmark, and pressure's definitely on them because they won't want to go into that Serbia game needing a win. But if they don't get anything from England, that's going to be the likely order of the day.
And we'll get your thoughts on a bet builder in a moment, Mark, but firstly, what's your best bet for this game on Wednesday?
I'm going to go for England and under 3.5 goals. I can see it playing out pretty similar to the Serbian game. The draw could be seen as a fair result for both teams because it keeps Denmark very much alive in the competition, and England will be definitely through, you would have thought, if they get to 4 points. And if you go back to the last couple of group stages, England did draw that middle game, didn't they, against US, and there was one against Scotland as well. And don't always sort of see England at their best in the kind of group stages, I think it's fair to say. But I'm not mad on Denmark, like I said. So I'm going to take an England win, albeit a pretty low scoring one.
And there will be people looking at potential bet builders for Wednesday's match as well. Mark, what's your suggestion for this?
Yeah, so the markets are only just forming. So, to sort of let the listeners and viewers in behind the curtain, we're doing this sort of just before we came on air. But I'm going to go for, in the both teams to score market, I'm going for no. Because England and nil-nil is a runner, I think, in this game. And whoever gets in front, I can see them just trying to shut the game down, but particularly England, who did that against Serbia. So I'll go for no on the both teams to score market. And then I've got two players to have a shot, not a shot on target, just to have a shot in the game. First of all, Alexander Arnold. He had three, one on target in that game against Serbia. So he was taking responsibility. That's not a surprise. I mean, he does like to have many shots. So I'll go for him to have a shot. And also Højbjerg for Denmark, played in a deeper role against Slovenia, but I'm expecting him to play sort of slightly further forward against England, because I actually feel like they might change their formation. They went with two strikers against Slovenia to try and get the win. I see them reverting to one up front, and that means Højbjerg will be released. He scored a few goals in qualifying, was an important player for them in sort of last Euros and also in the pre-tournament friendlies. He definitely usually gets forward more than we saw against Slovenia. And if Denmark do sort of offer a more sort of try to be more defensive, I actually think that will release Højbjerg, if that makes sense, because they'll play with one less forward. So he's one to consider as well. So knowing the both teams to score, and then in players to have a shot, we'll go for Alexander Arnold and also Højbjerg.
And just a reminder that Denmark against England takes place at 5 p.m. UK time on Thursday. Up next, we'll look at the rest of the second round of matches. Well, we'll start off, Mark, then on Wednesday. The 2 o'clock kickoff is Croatia against Albania, and possibly a bit more resting on this than Croatia would have hoped coming into it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it will feel like a game they definitely got to win. Obviously, goal difference took a battering against Spain, and I think that they will. I'm going to go for Croatia -1 on the Asian handicap. I think the goal difference aspect is key here, because if you do finish with 3 points in the group, like, your goal difference needs to be as close to zero as possible. Yeah. Sort of -1, -2 becomes dodgy. So I think Croatia, I'm not saying they'll be getting the ball out of the net against Albania, but if they do go one up, I don't think they can just sit back and rest on their laurels. And I actually thought they were lucky to lose by such a wide margin against Spain anyway. And then you've got the added caveat that Spain might just be really good. You can look at the game state, and they were chasing it for a long time, but Croatia had more shots, they had more possession and the same amount of shots on target. And Albania, did well up to a point against Italy, but I thought that they were, deserved to lose that game 2-1, and they were gifted their goal, inside 30 seconds, and were behind sort of pretty soon afterwards. So, as long as Croatia don't start throwing balls into their own box and giving Albania one goal starts, I would expect Croatia to live up to their favourites tag here and win fairly well.
Yeah, Croatia around about 9-20 to claim the victory. Albania 6-1, and it's 100-30 the draw. The 5 o'clock game on Wednesday sees the hosts back in action. Mightily impressive in their opening game. Germany take on Hungary. How do you see this one going, Mark?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Germany to win, and over 2.5 goals in this game. There's some real attacking verve from the Germans against Scotland. All the attackers looked in good shape, didn't they? Musiala and Wirtz and Kai Havertz, Gundogan. Hopefully he's not, his legs are okay after that horror tackle that won the penalty. Toni Kroos was running the show in midfield. So I thought that Germany, you can argue how good Scotland were, but I thought Germany were impressive. And then even when they're bringing on players off the bench, like Füllkrug, just like a man possessed when he comes on, and he really wants to show he should be in the starting 11. Hungary could do with something from this game. after losing that opener 3-1 against Switzerland. They conceded 7 shots on target in that game as well, which is a concern for them. So I mean, you've got two ways of winning this one. Hungary got some decent forward options, so might be able to score a goal themselves. But you know, Germany, the way that they're playing, might even fancy covering the line all on their own.
Yeah, Germany, big favourites, as you might imagine, around 27 to 100 to claim a victory here. 17 to 2, Hungary, and it's 5 to 1, the draw. Scotland, of course, were on the wrong end of that thumping against Germany in the opening game. They face what looks like potentially a must-win or certainly a must-not-lose match against Switzerland on Wednesday evening. The Scots are around 3-1 to claim the victory. 17-20 Switzerland, the draw 11-4. Let's just focus on Scotland a little bit first, Mark, on that opening performance against Germany. It's hard to tell just how good Germany were or how poor Scotland were.
Yeah, I'm still trying to focus on that 27 to 100 price that you just shouted out. I was, what is that? Yeah, so about fours on. Scotland were rabbits in the headlights. I thought they were just scared of the occasion. Maybe scared is slightly harsh, but certainly overawed by the occasion. They even from the first couple of minutes, just looked like they were lacking energy and couldn't get about the pitch like you would expect. And I think you've got two ways of playing when you're a big outsider like Scotland were. You either sit back and have, you know, 5 at the back, 4 in midfield, 1 up front, and you just, there's no gaps and you're defending the edge of your box and you're making it difficult for sort of the opponents to create opportunities. Or you go the other way and you try to, you know, be aggressive on the German midfield and you put pressure on them so that the ball doesn't sort of keep coming up to the forwards. In the end, Scotland did neither of those things. There were gaps everywhere and they were putting no pressure on Toni Kroos. I know everybody was getting excited by the Kroos sort of passing statistics where I think in the first half he was perfect, wasn't he? In the second half, scandalously misplaced one. But I'm not saying I would have had 100% pass completion with that amount of time, but you know, even I might have fancied getting up to about 70%. You can't allow someone like Toni Kroos that time to just do whatever he wants in the midfield. And you know, there are certain players within that Scotland team that are not quite up to European Championship standard level. I think we saw that defensively in certain areas, but the midfield should be. You've got McTominay, you've got McGinn, you've got McGregor. You know, there is enough there to be able to compete. I'm not saying be as good as Germany, but to be able to compete with them, where at the level, you know, you're not sort of becoming a laughing stock. And it felt to me like Germany were easing up, and probably if they would have wanted to have won by more, could have. And I heard McGinn talking yesterday in his press conference, and you know how low he was and how disappointed he was in his own individual performance. And I can understand that because Scotland's best players didn't turn up. And so I can understand why some of them are outclassed. But, you know, there were the higher profile ones needed to do a lot more than they did. And I mean, Steve Clarke will have had a big job on his hand trying to raise morale and spirits ahead of the game.
Yeah, Steve Clarke admitted that he maybe gave them too much information to take on board ahead of that Germany game. There's going to be a lot of information to take on board ahead of the clash with Switzerland, because they're going to need to come up with a much better performance. Can you see them getting anything, Mark?
You know what, I can. I'm going to go for the draw. It's around about 11-4, wasn't it, you said? So I know that you're taking a leap of faith here with Scotland, but I don't think they can be as bad again. I think there'll be a determination to improve. I think, you know, we saw that in the last Euros when they played well against England for their draw and then messed it up in the final group stage game. But I think they've got a performance in them. If it's to come, I think it comes now. You know, they need a point. They know they need a point to have any chance of staying in the competition. And I don't think a draw is a bad result for Switzerland either, because it will, you know, almost certainly guarantee them a place in the next round of the competition. So Switzerland were impressive against Hungary. I just wonder, though, whether it becomes a different game for them now, because I think Scotland fighting for their lives, trying to get a draw. Just wouldn't be surprised if at the prices, I don't really want to back Switzerland as sort of round, or odds on favourites, because going into the tournament, there was a lot of negativity around the Swiss. And you know, it's only one game. So, yeah, I don't think this is an absolute gimme at all. So I'm sort of in the unusual position. You know, I didn't expect this on Friday night to be tipping up Scotland to do well, but I actually thought the prices, they were worth backing to get a point.
Let's move on to Thursday now. We've already spoken, of course, about Denmark and England, but the early game is Slovenia against Serbia. A tough one to call, maybe, this. 15-4 Slovenia to gain the victory. It's 5-6 Serbia and around about 12-5 the draw. What are you looking at here, Mark?
Both teams to score. I expect Serbia to be much more attacking than they were against England. And they did look a lot better, didn't they, when Tadic came on and was trying to link play for them. And Slovenia were lively against Denmark, particularly second half. Spora and Sesko up front offered a threat constantly. You know, they're sort of they're a sort of proper old-fashioned English side, really. 4-4-2, get it forward quickly and work hard from the front. So, yeah, I can see this being a decent game. And as far as Slovenia are concerned, it was a good point against Denmark, but they've got England last. So it feels like a game that they might see as, if not must win, certainly, you know, an opportunity to win. And I'd say the same for Serbia as well. So might be a more entertaining game than many people are expecting.
The late game on Thursday sees two European heavyweights go head-to-head as the impressive Spain take on Italy, both victorious, of course, in their opening group games. 23-20, around about that for Spain to claim the victory. 9-4 the draw, 13-5 Italy. You mentioned earlier on you were impressed with Spain, Mark. Can you see them going and getting a positive result here?
I'm going to go for the draw. I just think that it stands out. I mean, Simon Giles in the Racing Post, in the sort of Euros pullout guide, did a piece on the amount of draws there have been in the last two European Championships in the middle round of group stage matches. So there's been nine draws in the last two Euros. I think it was a 5-1 and 4 in the other. And if you just back the draw blind, you ended up in profit. It's only two tournaments. I mean, you would want more evidence than that. But it does kind of make sense, doesn't it? Because for teams that have won, if you get 1 point, you're through in the way that the format is. And if you've lost your first game, at least if you draw, you're still involved in the competition going into the last set of group stage matches. Now, Spain and Italy have both got 3 points. I mean, from an Italian point of view, they've done some of the work against Albania, but they wouldn't want to go into that Croatia game wanting or needing something out of it. So, I mean, they're not going to be in any hurry to try to win the game. Spain have got Albania last, so you've already got 3 points and a good goal difference on the ball. No real desire for them to push it. And, you know, these are two good sides anyway. So, yeah, the draw was the one that stood out to me.
Let's move on to Friday now, and the opening game at 2 o'clock sees Slovakia against Ukraine. 13-5 at Slovakia, the draw around 23-10, 11-10 Ukraine, who were on the end of a bit of a hiding in their opening game, Mark. We didn't see that coming.
Oh, no, dude, my dark horses have gone the same way as many people's dark horses from 3 years ago when it was Turkey. No, it's an annoying start for Ukraine because you put your reputation on the line with these dark horses, and they've absolutely, just been smashed by Romania. I thought the 3-0 was harsh because if you look at it, the first goal, amazing finish from Stanciu, and it comes from a goalkeeping sort of miskick. And the second goal is also a goalkeeping error, and Lunin has played really well for Real Madrid. Sometimes these things just happen. I'm going to go for a draw in this game. Slovakia got the win against Belgium. I mean, Lukaku, every time I looked up, he had his head in his hands, whether he was missing a good chance or he was having one ruled out by VAR. So they rode their luck to win the game. Everyone loves a plucky underdog, but they gave up enough opportunities to not win that match. But now they've got 3 points on the board. You know, a point would be a great result for them against Ukraine. And as far as Ukraine are concerned, they'll probably be feeling similar to Scotland, really, where they just feel like they need to sort of, you know, just hang on, really, get a point, and then you've at least take it to the last game. So it sort of follows the same rule as a few of these that I've gone for. But yeah, another draw.
Yeah, Ukraine will probably be shaking their head at Lunin's performance, even more so than Manchester City fans who saw him flourish, of course, in the Champions League for Real Madrid. The middle game of the three on Friday sees Poland against Austria. Poland 3-1 to claim the victory in this game. The draw around 12-5, and Austria the favourites at 19-20. And Austria at times looked pretty impressive against France, Mark.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've been well backed because, I mean, when I was sort of we were putting these sort of the price graphics together, Austria were odds against to win the game. Totally agree that they played well against France, lost to an own goal. Yeah, I think they'll win. I'm not mad on Poland. They didn't do too badly, I suppose, against Netherlands. But yeah, I like Austria here.
Yeah, can't disagree with that and what we've seen so far. And then we've already mentioned arguably the game of the second round being Spain-Italy, but Netherlands against France will run it close. And that is the late game on Friday. 23-10, the Netherlands, around about 5-2, the draw, and 11-10, France. And what are your thoughts on this one, Mark?
I'm going to go for a France win. Now, France have drifted slightly because there's a doubt over Kylian Mbappe's involvement, broke his nose and in that horrible clash right at the end of the game against Austria on Monday night. Look, you'd want Mbappe to be there, of course you would, but it's an area where they've got a lot of quality, France, and you saw that with Mouani and Giroud coming on. So you'd rather Mbappe was there, but if he's not and it ends up being, I don't know, Giroud through the middle, Thuram one side and Ousmane Dembele the other, I still think that'll be too good against Netherlands, who you could argue played well against Poland. And I think when I was watching the game, I did think that that was the case. But if you look at the stats, it was Poland took the XG was only 1.24 to 1.58. And on shots on target, it was 7-4 to Poland, which, I think watching the game, I hadn't realised that. And it maybe suggests that they didn't control the game as well as you thought that they might do. And I thought their defence was vulnerable at times to a very limited Polish team. And France, with all that they've got, can definitely work the Dutch over. So I'll go for a France win.
OK, and we're going to turn our attentions now to the final games in round two of Euro 2024 on Saturday at 2 o'clock, Georgia against the Czech Republic. And we've not yet seen these two in action yet, Mark, with us recording this prior to their opening group game. But Georgia around about 7-2, 5-2 the draw, and 4-5 Czech Republic. Are you going with the favourites here?
I am, yeah. I just thought that the Czechs, there's a lot of negativity around them for a poor qualifying campaign, but they've changed their manager. Friendly results have been good, albeit against limited opponents, but well, you could make that case for Georgia as well, couldn't you, being fairly limited, although we are speaking, maybe they'll go and smash Turkey 3-0 and go, oh God, like, they're much better than we thought. But, you know, without having seen either team, you know, I'm just looking at the group as a whole, I thought that Czech, were fair enough.
Turkey against Portugal is the other game in that group on Saturday, a 5 o'clock kickoff. Turkey around 9-2, the draw 7-2, and Portugal 8-15. And Portugal, your tip to go well in this tournament?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Portugal to win and over 2.5 goals. Turkey had a 0-0 with Italy recently, but if you have a look at some of their other results sort of this season, 3-2 win over Germany before the Germans sorted themselves out properly. They lost 6-1. Against Austria, 2-1 to Poland, who had Lewandowski injured after 30 minutes. So I have got concerns really about that Turkish defence. Portugal, you had so much quality in their, well, I'd say in every department really. And so, you know, many options, even if they do sort of rotate some of those, if Rafael Leao comes on, for instance, or if Jota doesn't start, or João Felix, you know, the Gonçalo Ramos. They've got players there that can make a difference. And yeah, I'm going to go for Portugal to win in a high-scoring game.
Well, if we'd said to you a couple of weeks ago, or anybody, Belgium against Romania would see one team have lost their opening game, the other team win it, we certainly wouldn't have thought it would be Romania who will be sitting above Belgium in the table. But that's how it stands at the moment. Belgium 4-9, the draw 7-2. Romania as big as 6-1. What are you going with this, Mark?
If people say Romania are overpriced and I've got to lay Belgium, I can see that point of view based on one game or sort of one set of results. I'm actually going to go completely the other way and say Belgium -1 Asian handicap. but I was anti-Romania at the start. And I just don't think you can, like, one result just can't make you change your mind completely. I've already said that, you know, the first goal is a brilliant finish from Stanciu, and the second one's a goalkeeping error. But those make a big difference in matches, because up until the point when Stanciu scored, like, Ukraine had about 70% possession, and it felt to me like they were, you know, sort of in the ascendancy and going to go on and win the game. And from the Belgian point of view, Lukaku's missed some unbelievable opportunities. He took some, but they were then ruled out for a close offside and a handball that was identified using a snicker meter, which was the first time we've seen one of the, certainly first time I've seen one of them in football. And I actually felt Belgium panicked, lost their shape. Tedesco just chucked on forward after forward after forward, and actually lost what they were trying to do. Yeah, I was anti-Romania at the start, and I just feel it's bad practice to completely abandon your thoughts after one game. So I might be wrong, but I'm going to go for Belgium -1 Asian handicap.
Using Snicko, let's hope they don't turn to Duckworth Lewis later on in the tournament to decide who's going through. That's the look through then of the second round of Euro 2024 group matches. We're going to turn our attentions now to Mark's accumulator and nap for this second round of games. Let's start with the accumulator, Mark. What's the selection here?
Yeah, so Croatia to beat Albania. I thought Albania were given a real helping hand by Italy and still managed to lose the game. Croatia, never a team to write off. They lost their first game. They still created chances. Fancy them to bounce back well. Austria to beat Poland. This has been a long-term fancy of mine, really, for this sort of... When the group stages came out, when the prices were out, like, I always felt Austria were overpriced. I'm on Poland to finish bottom of the group. So just feel like I've got to follow that through with Austria to win the game. And then, again, taking a long-term view rather than just what we saw yesterday, I'm going to go for Belgium to beat Romania. So it comes out about 7-2, that Croatia, Austria and Belgium treble.
And the nap, is that going to include one of those from the accumulator?
Yeah, it does. And it's Austria, who on another day might have got something against France, played with so much energy, were well coached by Ralf Rangnick. And you know, Lewandowski didn't play for Poland against Netherlands on Sunday. Mm. So they're saying he might come back. But how fit can he be if he's not available to play that game on the Sunday? Is he going to be fully fit for the Friday and play at a high level? I would have my doubts as to whether he could do that. And while the stats say that Poland didn't do too badly in that game against Netherlands, I mean, I can remember that Gakpo probably should have scored. Depay missed a golden opportunity. And Dumfries had a couple as well. So, I mean, Austria, it sort of plays into a lot of my bets for this second round of matches, Austria v Poland. So, Friday, 5 o'clock, I won't want to be missing this one.
Thanks to Mark for his thoughts then on the second round of matches. It's a goodbye from him and I. And don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. Plus, you should also check out the latest episode of The Sweet Spot if you're having a golf bet this week as well. Make sure that you take on board what the guys have had to say there off the back of the US Open, of course, at the weekend. And we'll be back on Sunday to preview the final round of group stage games at Euro 2024. Enjoy your football, and of course, remember to please gamble responsibly.